I need to make sure that I don't say anything stupid like hydrostatic. Hold on.
It's all right. It's Hydrag. You can say stupid shit. I do all the time.
Welcome to our next episode of Crossing Zebras.
Flight controllers, listen up. You need a go, no go for launch. Booster.
Go.
Retro.
Go.
Vital.
Grab your bourbon. Guidance. This is Hydrag.
I am Kyle Yanowski.
I am Randa McNally.
I am Ashtarothy.
I'm Fincher.
Zayo Amadeus.
I am Zelen.
We are Go.
Network.
Go.
Recovery.
Go.
Capcom.
We're Go Fly.
Launch Control, this is Houston. We are Go for launch.
This is Hydrag.
Greetings, fellow Empyreans. I am Ashtarothy, and this is Hydrag Podcast.
Hey. Oh.
I am your host, Ashtarothy, and I am joined... No, this is Hydrag Podcast, not hydrostatic, not lower panels, not any of that bogus stuff. It is the, you know, where we kick back, throw back a beer, and chill out at the end of the day. I am joined with Fintaru and Randa McNally. Fintaru, who are you?
Well, I'm pretty sure you spoiled that one, so thank God this is after Star Wars is already released, because I wouldn't trust you about that either. But I am Fintaru, host of KFIN 0.4 FM. That's a big ass fucking fleet right there that I just jumped into. CEO of Rifterlings, and you can find me on Twitch TV, etc. And I'm just going to be all over the place this episode, because not only am I streaming and running this episode, but I'm also doing lodging in a fleet while doing all of this. This is going to be exciting.
Distracted Lodgy, best Lodgy. What about you, Random?
I am Random McNally. I am a member of the Vendinari. I fly with End of Life, at least when I decide to log into Random McNally. But, I'll leave it from there, and then we'll go into what we've been doing in-game.
Sure. So I will go first. I am Ashtarothy, and I have been actually playing the game. I'm back in Aderon Robotics, doing Faction Warfare, and loving my Magus. I have my Magus named Wonder Boy, because it has the power to move you.
Wonder Boy.
Exactly.
I thought that was supposed to be a Pontifex.
It was, until at the last second I realized that the Magus can be jet black and just super awesome and Battlestar Galactica looking. So that's what I have now.
I can see you there, because I will say my luck on inventing Pontifex has been shit. As soon as the patch came out, or at least as soon as I was able to get back in game, my grand goal was to get back into game right away Tuesday morning, right after the patch, and get a whole bunch of invention stuff lined up. I had all my invention stuff ready in my tower, and I was going to start burning them out. Well, it took me a couple of days to get back into the game. But I tried doing invention, and I got a bunch of Bifrost, I got a bunch of Magus, I got a bunch of Stork, not one fucking success. I think I got one success out of like 14 attempts on the Pontifex. So I went, you know what? Screw Amar. I didn't want to fly their damn ships anyway.
No, as soon as they're available, I think within the first like 12 hours or so, they dropped down to about 90 million or 99 million each. So I picked one of them up. I picked up the skin for it and went out, got two kill marks, and then blow up. So it was a wonderful, wonderful time. Those things are fantastic.
Nice. Okay. Well, then what else have you been doing in game lately?
I rejoined Aderon and have kind of taken back up trying to deal with marketing. So we are recruiting, by the way. So if you want to fly with me and get jumped by my Magus, you can come join Aderon. No, other than that, I've been actually figuring out industry a little bit, which is kind of crazy. So I've got my own spreadsheet going now, and Locke is helping me refine it so that way I might be able to get T2 stuff. No promises. But so I've got Eve firing on all cylinders, which is pretty cool.
Nice. How about you, Finn? What have you been doing in game lately?
So it's been like... The solo PvP has been super frustrating, and I know I've talked about that kind of recently anyway. So I've been doing a lot of streaming of some small gang stuff and with the corp, and one of the things that I've been doing is playing around with the new Logi, and I've been doing streaming lots of this Logi stuff with the new Logi freaks. These things are fucking crazy, by the way. And I've got some really sweet footage of some fights we've been getting with these. And man, I just can't wait to show off some of the stuff that we've been doing with this. It's been crazy, like billions in damage with just harpies, like harpies and a couple scalpels.
Hey, do you know if the Logi not being allowed in smalls, is that a bug? Or
I don't think it's intentional. It would be crazy if it was, because like assault frigates can get in there, and command desis can get in there, and Tech 2 Logi can get into mediums.
Yeah, basically the biggest thing is that it's inconsistent, right? It doesn't follow the standard rules. So I hope they fix that soon.
Okay, well, what I've been doing in game lately, I've actually been spreading between my industrial stuff and my Nullsec grind havens and sanctums for ISK thing. I know it's not exactly record-breaking or super interesting gameplay, but my grand goal is when the Citadel BPOs come out, I want to make sure that I've got enough in the wallet to handle picking up at least the medium Citadel BPO. So I have a goal, and it's a long, dreary road to get to it. But when Finn, just before we started the podcast tonight, Finn was telling me about that he was out on a roam, and it's like, I so desperately want to go out and pew somebody. Desperately. Did I mention desperately?
You really got to join us for some of these assault frigate stuff we were doing, because you would be like... Everybody right now is very consistently saying that assault frigates are in a shit spot. And they really are. And I don't want anybody confused about that. They really are. But with the stuff that we have been doing with these, you would not think that. Like, you would not think that at all.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm not too awfully far from your neck of the woods. So I may have to touch base with you and find out when the next time you guys are going to take one of these little roams out. Because I would love to jump into an assault frig and go do some pew. The problem that I have with End of Life is the fact that they're all Aussies, and they fly at, like, either when I'm at work or when I'm asleep. So it's kind of tough for me to get involved with them, although they're a great group of guys and ladies. I just don't get the time to go fly with them, and I really want to go fly and do some pew.
And like I said, the stuff we've been doing with these, and not to mention those command desis, are fun as hell. They're so crazy. And you combine them with a class of ship that everybody is convinced is dead, and all of a sudden you start doing terrifying things. And the best part about it is, and this is why we've been so insistent on flying assault frigates lately, is everybody, because they think they're so bad, everybody and their brother will fight them. Oh, everybody goes after them, which means that all of a sudden we're surprising everybody because we're stomping the shit out of them. Like, just now, that fight that we had, those cruisers happily went after us. And they're like, oh, it's just assault frigates. We totally got this. No, they couldn't break us. They couldn't break us, so we killed them. No problem.
Nice.
This thing is so fun.
That's one of the things I really like that's going on a little bit, or that's going on right now in EVE, which I've been kind of mulling over, and I've started to call the rise of the roll. Like, you know, we've always had kind of other roles besides just standard DPS, right? You've got Logi, you've got different forms of E-War, you know, all this kind of stuff. But in a lot of ways, the role that you play is very kind of known to you, and that's it. But now they're starting to give us tools that work together in some very interesting ways. So that way, having people specialized in particular roles is more important than ever before, even in like small gangs when it's sometimes like, oh, well, I can barely get enough people. Like, if you can combine a command destroyer with a Hictor, it's crazy. If you can combine two,
frustrating as hell. But that's like, it's OP as fuck. That's broke as hell.
Oh no, I'm not happy with that. It's definitely broke. It needs to be.
It's cool, but at the same time,
the concept is good. It needs to be toned down.
Majorly.
But like, we had two Maguses, and we were able to do formations, and we're sitting there like, okay, we got a bookmark over there. So if I warp all of us to the bookmark at 50. And then we both use our micro jump drives while pointing at them, then we will get and land on them at 250 off. Let's go right now. Like, you do stuff like that. And you, I mean, that stuff requires practice, and it requires, you know, people to coordinate and actually discuss kind of like, all right, guys, here's the plan. And you don't hear that a lot in small gang stuff, or at least I haven't prior to this. And I think it's really good.
All I know is that now that the patch has come, now that the command desis are in order, I so desperately want to get into one and try it out. Oh my gosh, they just, the whole concept, I've been just stoked on the whole concept of them. And other than building them, which is all I've been doing lately, I desperately want to get in one and try some fun.
I have yet to be able to do a legit like kidnap with one of the command essies, but I've done a lot of bringing us to you.
We did. We've done it. We were flying around. This was last week. Like I said, we've been doing the assault frigate fleets and stuff with a couple command essies, and we ran into a cruiser gang that was easily our number, and they were running like Vexer navies and Scythe fleet issues with logistics and stuff. And we're in Harpies, so we've got really good damage and some decent tank. But our command essie jumped a Vexer off of the gate, away from their fleet. We managed to gank him because we were away, so we warped to him and then ganked him before ever the rest of his fleet could catch up and get in rep range. And so we ganked their Vexer and then warped.
Nice.
It was so good.
They've always figured out a way to scram me first. I don't know yet. I have learned that I think I'm going to switch out the scram on my command destroyer for a disruptor.
I've seen quite a few people doing that with the command SE. I've actually been flying it with a web, but that's also because I've been flying mine very fleet support, and so I'm running a link on mine, and so like with the Fed Navy web, I'm getting 18-kilometer web range, which has been a big help. We've gotten some great kills because
I've got a link on mine, and I don't know if I have a web. I don't think so, actually, now that I think about it. But so yeah, but the point is that we run into a lot of problems where it's like, okay, we have this guy, we're on the gate, he's going to try to crash the gate, we want to move him. If he scrams me, it's aggression. So everybody else drops scram, and I take point and then jump him. But the problem is that we end up where everybody has a scram, and then it's like, well, can anybody disrupt him? And they're like, no, we only have scrams. So the guy slowboats back to the gate and then jumps through.
So out of curiosity then, okay, so you're definitely using your command desi as part of a fleet action, right?
Yeah.
Okay, what about you, Finn? Have you tried any solo work with the command essies, or is this pretty much a fleet boat?
Excuse me, Barb.
I've seen quite a few people doing solo,
but I have not really done too much. I've been flying them with pairs or with a fleet.
I want to do solo with them. They're not quite situated yet.
The reason why I'm asking is because I was listening to one of the podcasts today while I was at work, and they were talking about taking a Magus and loading it up with newts. And I was just thinking, because I haven't played around with any of the fittings yet, could you take a Magus, pretty much leave all your DPS as drones, but do something like newts, scram, prop mod, and the micro jump drive generator, and try to solo people with it?
I mean, I think that there's lots of opportunities for it to be a good solo ship.
The Stork is actually decent. The damage is low. The Bifrost, though, is the one that I've been seeing the most out of, and that's just because it gets a really crazy, like, it's running a double shield extender. Well, a lot of people have been doing a double shield extender, scram, micro warp drive, micro jump, and it gets, like, 17k EHP, and does, like, 200-ish, 200-some DPS, which is pretty decent.
We may need to play around with this. So, Ash, anything interesting, new or wild or exciting happening in the world of Eve lately?
I think you already asked me.
No, not what you're doing, just in general, discussion stuff.
Oh, well, I guess the breaking news is that there's new EWAR indicators on Sissy.
Yeah, you were saying something about this at the very beginning. What do you mean by EWAR indicators? Are you talking about the little icons that appear above your HUD?
Yeah, so right above your capacitor indicator, when you are affected by electronic warfare, a little thing appears that lets you see what you're being affected by, and if you hover over it, it tells you what's affecting you. And you can actually interact with that, by the way, if you don't know. So if you control-click it, you'll target back whoever is affecting you, if you can. So on and so forth. At any rate, so they've changed it. I went on Sissy myself and I tried it out. It's definitely not complete yet, so this is not like a description of how it's supposed to work. It's just what I saw. I tested it with a warp disruptor and I tested it with an ECM. With the warp disruptor, it appeared in a orangish hue, and there was a timer around the outside. So I was able to see my opponent's timer on their disruptor on me. And like I said, it was an orangish hue, which suggested to me that we might be able to see positive effects, like as a blue hue or something like that, because it made it look like negative. The other thing I noted was that the ECM did not show at all, even when the jam went off. I personally don't think that that means that they're not going to show jams. I think that that means that they're not done with what they're going to do with jams yet. My personal CCP please is if we could make it so that jams, you see jams that are affecting you even when they are not successful. So I can see a failed jam attempt against me. That'd be great.
That would be kind of cool to see, like, instead of the steady icon over your HUD, have it like flash to show that somebody's trying to jam you, and then when it lands, have it go solid.
Yeah, or you could just gray it out. Yeah, you could just gray it out, just like it is when you're using it offensively. It's grayed out if it's failed, and if it's full colored if it's successful.
Sweet.
So anyway, yeah, not quite sure what all is going to come from that, but you can tell as they're getting kind of close to spring, they're really doing a polish over a lot of different features to make sure that, like, when new players come, things make sense and their experience is good. Also, beta camera's out, by the way.
Okay, explain the beta camera.
Beta camera is so basically they demoed it in Vegas, and there's two new cameras. Well, technically three new cameras. There's the orbit camera, which is meant to replace our current normal camera, but it's not quite as good, and that's basically the only descriptive I can give about it. The second one is the tactical camera, which disconnects your camera from your ship and allows you to, you know, center it on other things and kind of move it around and all that stuff freely in space, which is really good if you are a video creator, and not really good if you are a game player. And then the third is first person view, where, by the way, you cannot actually turn your camera. You literally are like locked at your vector direction looking in that way. Or not even your vector direction, but like wherever the front of your hull is, that's where you're looking, which is also really cool for video creation and not really great for actual gameplay. So that's a thing.
That's going to be interesting. I know that first person, for me, I would be constantly looking in space and not nearly as much towards my target.
Yeah, no, you totally end up doing that a lot. Yep. It's really cool to warp in. But and it's really good, cool at shooting things in front of you. But I can't think of a good opportunity to actually use first person camera for anything practical.
It's just them getting ready to force us all to have to use the manual control.
The big thing that I really don't like about it is with the orbit camera. I actually was totally down with trying out the orbit camera. There's some complaints about it, but I was going to muscle through them because I like the bounding box selection. Like, it makes it so that you can like control and drag in space and like create a bounding box and then select somebody. Although it doesn't actually select everybody that you bounding box, so it doesn't quite work the way that you would expect. So it's kind of garbage, but whatever. Anyway, I was trying that, and then I clicked on a Plex to scan it, and I realized that my camera didn't snap to the thing that I had selected. And I couldn't find it in the options to turn it on under the new camera. And that was the instant I turned off the new camera.
So this sounds like something that once it finally hits Tranquility, we're all going to have to go through a learning curve, huh?
No, that's on the beta's on Tranquility. The new effects are
the beta's on Tranquility. Oh,
yeah. If you hit escape, you go to, because you're always online, right? If you hit escape and go to general settings, you can go to try the new camera. and then you can try the new camera.
Huh. Well, maybe I'll have to give it a try. I'm still kind of that get off my lawn type, so after nearly 8 years, I think I'm finally getting used to the current camera situation.
Yeah, I mean, anybody who's listened to me for any amount of time knows that I'm a pretty positive person when it comes to CCP. I try to, you know, say the best side of things and all that stuff, but right now this camera is just not functional. I mean, it's cool. I think that, as a video content creator, I think that it could be very valuable. I got some really cool shots because, you know, separating your ship away or your camera away from your ship allows you to do all kinds of things with video, but it doesn't allow you to play the game any more effectively.
Fair enough. So what about you, Finn? You discovered anything, played around with anything other than the Logi frigates, anything that you've done since the patch, all those nifty ships that came out?
Well, I was playing around a little bit with the Navy Ewar frigs. I don't really like the Mollus. These things are all really slow, but I don't really care for the Mollus. I like the Vigil, and hold your breath, I like the Griffin.
Wait, what?
Wait, I'm actually more interested in why you don't like the Mollus.
I don't like the Mollus.
What's wrong with it? I don't like the Mollus. Hang on, Finn. I have flown with Finn Tru, and to have him say, I like the Griffin, oh, I've got to hear this.
I just tried to distract
you. That's actually going to be my the Finn, Unifin fit today. Was actually going to be the Griffin.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, and you're really going to love it. So I don't want to go into too much detail, but I will say that I really enjoy the Griffin.
Okay, so now I'm going to sit back with Ash in his court. The Mollus seemed like the kind of ship that all of us were just super primed to see. Why are you not so thrilled with it?
I wanted to be interested in it, but the big thing about it is it's slow as fuck. It's incredibly slow. We're talking assault frigate speed slow. It's not good. It's not pleasant. And it gets pretty cool, like, that it's got a good, like, 15, 16 kilometer scram when you overheat it or whatever. But it really struggles with fitting, which means that your damage tends to be on the poorer side, or your tank is going to be on the poorer side if you're trying to make up for its speed deficiencies. It's just, it's not pleasant. And in all the ways that I have tried it, I don't enjoy it. And I've really struggled. I've tried, too, and I just can't seem to come up with something that I actually like with it. Now, the Vigil, on the other hand, the Vigil's fun. Although it was pretty depressing because literally all of my frustrations, this was so sad last week that I was streaming, all of my frustrations about flying solo were, like, perfectly exemplified in the first 5 minutes when I turned my stream on last week, when I'm like, all right, I want to play around with this Vigil. So I fit up this Vigil, immediately take it out, and the very first thing that I run into is a gang of a trio of linked slicers that I just slowly died to because I couldn't catch them.
I was just like, are you kidding me?
Like, are you serious? The first 5 minutes of the stream, the first time I took this ship out, and I run into a gang of linked slicers, and I was just like, this is fucking stupid. I was so upset. But I do like the Vigil. I got to play around with it some more. The Vigil's pretty cool.
Cool.
So I've been playing around with the 10 meganewton afterburner Vigil. It only gets a bonus to rocket damage, so it's kind of tricky. But with the fit that I've been playing around with, it's not too big of a deal because with Javelin rockets, you hit out to 15, 16 kilometers, which is the range of your webs. And so having a 10 meganewton afterburner, which means your agility is going to be awful, isn't that big of a deal because you're going to hit out pretty far and you run a long point double web and you're good. And you still do 150 DPS with Javelin, so it works out pretty well that way. It's really nice. I really enjoy that one. But the Griffin, I can't wait to talk about the Griffin, though.
Oh, I cannot wait for the Yin now because you have a passion, a hatred of Griffins. I still remember flying in one of the fleets when I was part of the Rifterlings, and somebody gave me a Griffin to fly. And even though I was your court mate at the time, you had nothing nice to say about me.
Yeah. Well, then I think you're really going to enjoy this.
Okay. Well, I'm very, very much looking forward to it. So, anybody else got anything they want to talk about for tonight?
I'm trying to think. Solus? Have you gotten a chance to check out Solus?
I have not. That's the new server?
Yeah.
Now, I heard, correct me if I'm wrong, the rumor was that you started off with, you started off with like 150 million skill points, everything basically set to 5, and you could try whatever you want, wherever you want in there?
That's correct. It was every skill to 5, and it was fully seated. In fact, I'm pretty sure that they had like pretty much every item seated. Normally, like Singularity doesn't have officer mods and such like that seated. This had everything. So we had people in like Revenants fully blinged out with purples, warping and just getting blown up by swarms of Titans in Amar. It was crazy.
I was listening to a Clueless Space Nerds podcast, and they were talking about being on Solus, and they even have the Alliance tournament ships, even the old ones like the Guardian Vexor.
Yep. No, it was a lot of fun. But the really cool thing about it isn't necessarily how much fun it was, which, I mean, it was, but how well it worked. Like, it was very... I mean, obviously, the demand on it wasn't nearly as high, but you got to remember, Solus is the Tech 3 hardware. It's, like, one of the most powerful server clusters anyone has ever seen, and it's going to be the new Tranquility server. And the nice thing about it is that somehow during this move has been very public. So they had Solus open for, I think, 2 or 3 days, and then they shut it down. And they shut it down so they can move it to London. So they moved it to London, and then I think two and a half days ago, Solus came back online, which means it's live in London. And right now, as we speak, it's online, but in VIP mode. So that means that Tech 3 Tranquility is coming very soon. And that's going to be nice.
Is it? Was it good?
Yeah. I mean, basically, it's the equivalent of every single node being a super node.
Oh, that reminds me. Oh, go ahead. If you're still on this topic, go ahead. But
it doesn't remind me. I was just going to say, now, if every mode is a super mode, then, you know, I guess what is going to be the huge benefit of this? I mean, I realize that you're talking about a bigger, better, stronger, faster processor and such, but if every node is going to be the equivalent of a super node, are we still going to be dealing with tie-dye?
I mean, I think that tie-dye will still be a thing as we push it to its limits, but I don't know if there's going to be, I'm assuming that there is a new super node that is the super node of the super nodes, if that makes sense. I'm not sure. Like, I haven't done that much homework as to like the actual infrastructure, but I do know that it's super powerful, and it's going to basically, if anything, it's going to make sure that tie-dye that you get occasionally as you like are moving 40-man or 100-man fleets around, those will probably be way snappier. Whereas I'm sure that, you know, the fights that are the most brutal fights will still weigh on it, at least somewhat.
Okay. What were you going to talk about, Finn?
So one of the things that's been constantly a big issue, especially now that we've got all the new play toys from the update, is the stuff about Link. And I gotta say, after playing with the Command Essies, I cannot wait for Links to become Augur.
Yeah, that's pretty sick.
They are so much fun. It is so much fun to be able to have just like one Desi with a single Link. Like, it's just really cool. It makes the small gang, small gang fleets, it just makes them that much more dynamic and able to respond to certain situations and stuff like that. And I really like it. It's pretty cool. I cannot wait until Links become completely on grid and just seeing how a fleet kind of specializes with the Links and dealing with them and things like that. And being able to fight them without having them necessarily. It's going to be great. Like, this is really cool. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, I think that Command Essies have already come a long ways at solving the off-grid Link problem. partially by bringing the links on grid and giving them value to being on grid, but also the fact that they're really good at kidnapping off-grid links that don't want to stay on the stations.
That week when they released, we were flying around because I was like, we're gonna go link hunting. Like, we have to go link hunting. I want to go kill links, and which is what started our little like assault frigate revolution that we've been doing this first week. And or these last couple weeks or whatever. And seriously, after these things came out, link ships just disappeared. Like, you couldn't find them anymore. They people were using them. they were on undocks. They weren't stuffed in the stations. They were on gates. Like, links just disappeared. But it was great. It was beautiful is what it was, because so many got kidnapped. So many got space-napped in that first couple of days that everybody was all of a sudden like terrified to be even using them. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful.
We should probably take a minute and describe what we mean when we're talking about links for people who may not understand or know. Basically, what it is you have certain ships that are allowed to fly warfare links. Most of them are the battle cruisers, or some of the Tech 3 cruisers are really good for links. And basically, what they do is they act as an enhancement for your fleet. So up until this point, and actually, you could even use them on orcas as part of mining fleets for boosting as well. But the idea is that up until soon to be the near future, links have been allowed to be in system, not in on grid with the rest of the ships. So a lot of times, if you had a link ship that was giving your fleet boosts, you would park it in a hiding spot so that your combat ships that are on grid get the boosts, but that link ship is not there. So it's not a target. Now, with the idea of links moving to on-grid, which I wholeheartedly agree with, you start putting those link ships in a little danger in the line of fire.
They're reasonably tanky, depending on how you fit them, which is why so far my favorite is the Stork, even though the Bifrost is crazy. And these, not only are these things, like, I think there needs to be some kind of balancing with them for sure, because they're a little crazy on the tank side. Like, the Bifrost, you can easily get, like, 17k EHP with no effort. Like, literally no effort, and you get 17k HP out of this thing, which is pretty intense. But here's the scary part about it. Like, the guy in our corp that's been flying the Bifrost for our little Harpy fleets and stuff like that, his Bifrost does 5k a second cold.
Oh, jeez.
5k a second cold. No, they're fast. Cold. They're stupid. Like, they're insane. Like, just absolutely on the insanity level. Like, we didn't just go to light speed, we went plaid kind of shit.
Yeah, but to do that now, are you talking oversized micro-warp drive?
No, we're talking a 5 megadeton micro-warp drive, like a normal Desi-Frig micro-warp drive, and he's got an overdrive injector running mid-grade snakes. Even without mid-grade snakes, the thing still does 4k a second cold. And, like, It's just absolutely terrifying. He uses this thing as an interceptor. And even it's scary because one of the first times that we were flying around with this thing, he ran down a Garber. And everybody, like, Garbers are plague right now. They're one of the, like, icons of cancerous linked PvP in the game. And he ran down a Garber, chased it down, and was able to tackle. Like, are you kidding? It's stupid as hell. He was doing like 8k hot on this Bifrost. Like, that's too much. It's too much. But they're fun. They're fun, but that was too much.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. If I wanted to fly these things specifically to bust up clusters of ships, having that kind of speed would be definitely beneficial.
I don't know. It's a... I've been torn about it. I like the speed. I like the tank. But, you know, the reasonable, balanced person of me says this is too much. Like, there's no reason that these things need to be faster than interceptors, because they easily are. Like, this is as fast, if not faster, than interceptors, not to mention with a huge tank. Plus, you can run a link on them, which means that you can have interceptor-level tackle, like, distance tackle on them as well. So it just seems way too much.
What's funny is that with the current rules, you still have to have a link alt, but your link alt doesn't have to be your guy anymore. Like, the link alt could be anybody anywhere, because you have to have somebody to broadcast to make it work, right? You have to have a fleet with somebody there for the broadcast to even of your for the link to even do something.
Well, that's if you're flying them around solo, yeah. But honestly, if you're flying around something with solo, I'd still stick to a T3 Desi and just use a normal link alt right now. At least until they do get switched on grid, then it may be different. But for the moment, I see, like, if you're going to be doing that, you might as well just go with a T3 Desi, because there's still way better combat ships.
Unless you're fighting in smalls. But yeah, largely, I agree with you.
That's true. Oh, man, I hate that. I hate that the Tech 2 Logic Freaks can't get into smalls right now. CCP, please fix this. Think it can't be on purpose. There's no way. It has to be... has to be accidental.
Yeah, it's so inconsistent. Like, T2 destroyers can go in, but T2 Logi frigates cannot.
And then the Tech 2 Logi cruisers can get into mediums. So, like, it's man. The first time I found that out, we were flying around on stream, and I tried to go in, and it was like, why can't I get in? This is awful! Everybody in the chat and on stream and in fleet was like, man, G2 Logi frigates suck. They can't get in the smalls. I'm like, no, they don't suck.
I would have just, like, grit my teeth and literally, like, just burned into the plex.
If you could get that thing up to 4 or 5K, it wouldn't take you all that long to get in the plex.
Exactly. Quick, bring me 10 Bifrosts. We'll get this done real quick.
So there is evidently some question in your chat channel there, Finn, on the Twitch stream. Fotis, no, I am not in the fleet. I can't play and podcast at the same time. That's like chewing gum and walking for me.
So, breaking news, there's a new scope video, like, as of 20 minutes ago.
Somebody mentioned, what's it about?
It's basically just talking about the Serpentis' counterattack. And how they're all grumpy.
Speaking of the Serpentis counterattack, have either of you guys had a chance to run any of those Operation Frostline sites?
I've ran a few. Admittedly, I think I ran more while I was on Sissy than on Tranquility, but I've run a few.
Okay. I have run 6 so far, and the coolest, neatest, shiniest thing I've gotten is a mechanical arm.
So it's interesting. I was thinking about this Frostline thing from, like, a design standpoint. The other day, because honestly, it's not doing that well as a feature. It's definitely not being as popular as the Crimson Harvest. And so I was kind of wondering why, especially since they did increase the rewards actually twice. But they still haven't done anything like super juicy. And I know that they probably have some super juicy stuff up their sleeve. So I'm kind of seeing how things go over time. But I think that one of the things that's really important about these two events is that they're trying to figure out the value of skill points, right? So last time during the Crimson Harvest, they had the accelerators
that drops in Frostline.
Right, but most of it isn't consistent. Yeah. Like, most the good stuff isn't consistent. But there is a reward, so you want to do it, but there's not a reward that's frequent enough that you get it and feel good, and that perpetuates you doing it, if that makes sense.
Before you continue, Ash, okay, so to substantiate, I've actually heard stories, and one of it comes from a player whom I know pretty well to be reliable, that a plex dropped on the first time they ran an Operation Frostline. So they get a plex. So I'm like, damn, maybe I should go back out and make an effort to try to track these things down. For the life of me, I cannot find the things. They may be giving out these really nice, juicy, tasty treats, but is the spawn rate lower? Or, you know, I'm just not seeing them.
The spawn rate is lower. I think that the best way to find them still is to go into wormhole space. But anyway, the biggest thing that I think that's interesting about them is that they always drop a shirt, the two shirts and the quaife. And I think that decision was very intentional, because if you think about it, all of us are talking about how many sites that you have run. You only know that because you have the exact number. Like, if you're just if you're just going around and roaming around and shooting at stuff, you would say, oh, I ran Crimson Harvest sites for a couple of hours, or I ran ANOMs for a couple of hours. You never say, I did 12 ANOMs, because you don't know. You get into the process and you just start grinding through them and you lose count. But with these Serpentis sites, they make sure to give you basically a counter of how many of them you have looted so far in the form of the shirts.
The shirts and the Quave Zero.
Exactly. It's just, I'm not saying that it's a good thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying it's a very interesting design choice. And I wonder if they're collecting data differences between Crimson Harvest and Frostline.
Well, it, just as a ballpark, how many do you think you've run?
Oh, me? Like I said, I've done maybe 10 since being on Tranquility. Okay.
I've only used them to, like, kill people.
All right, fair enough. I've done maybe 6 or 7 of them between two characters. And, you know, while I've got a great wardrobe building up, you know, like I said, the one shiny thing I did get was a mechanical arm. Do you say you think they're doing this to ascertain the skill points? Now, we could see that with the Blood Harvest, because the implants that they gave out were specifically designed to accelerate your training. They're not giving anything like that with this one. How do you draw the connection?
So that's kind of my point. When you're doing data analysis, you have to have a control, sort of, at least something that you can rest yourself on, right? So the Crimson Harvest was wildly successful, but at the time they didn't know why. They didn't know if it was because of the PvP. They didn't know if it was because of the nature of the site. So they refined on it. They made it more perfect, and they took out the skill point reward, and they gave it relatively normal rewards that we are used to, things with just raw ISK value that we don't have to make up a value for. We had to make up, as a community, we had to decide how much accelerators were worth to us. We don't have to decide how much Plex is worth to us. We have had that decided by the market over the course of the last 10 years. So by standardizing all of the stuff that is dropping out of the site, you basically say, okay, so Blood Raider sites did fantastically well and had accelerators, and Frostline sites did X percent less well and had good rewards but not accelerators, and from that we can determine the relative demand of skill point purchasing.
Okay, well, I'm looking in the chat channel right now, and Zuzo said that they announced on the 07 show that they do drop Plex and Officer modules, so that is confirmed. And the first day of release, 28,000 Frostlines have been run, with 40 billion ISK lost to players that died, and 400 billion ISK in rewards.
I suppose I should say that Frostline has been doing quite well. It just is not as ridiculously well as the Crimson Harvest did. It's still a good amount of fun.
Well, you know, honestly, I don't know. I guess my thought on it is, would it be better to have it spawn frequently with less tasty items, or would it be better to spawn less frequently with more tasty items? I guess I'm kind of on the fence here as far as it's, you know, without knowing what CCP's actual intent is for Operation Frostline. You know, are they trying to gather market data? Are they just, you know, are they just providing a means for people like Finn to go around and blow people up? Without knowing the actual intent for them, I guess I would be on the fence as to which I would like to see, more frequent or less frequent.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's a lot of interesting things going on that has to do with player behavior within the game coming out. Like these sites kind of mold behavior towards certain things, and they can direct them by making them spawn in different areas and, you know, at different rates and all that stuff. And then also the tribute system that's supposed to be coming out soon is designed directly to kind of mold behavior to being out in space and doing things. So it's interesting to see how the PvE design of Eve is going, and kind of make predictions about where it will go in the next 6 months.
Well, and Dusty Monk mentions in the chat channel that he hates the philosophy, or the MMO philosophy, that loot equals fun. And I guess I don't know, Dusty, I'm not saying that more loot equals more fun, but, you know, it's when you see people or you hear of people getting plex from running Operation Frostlight, I mean, it certainly motivates you to try to go out and find them yourself because, hey, you know, who wouldn't want a free plex? But, you know, when it starts to become more work to try to find the spots and then you end up with nothing more than a wardrobe full of shirts and a six pack of Quaife, it can be a little bit disheartening.
So let me try to tackle that loot equals fun thing, because you're right. It's not true. Loot doesn't equal fun. And I can prove that because if you just joined the game and I gave you a purple item with the top stats of the game and said, go get them, Tiger, that's not actually going to be that fun. So the loot doesn't make it fun. It is the journey towards the loot that often is what's fun. And the reason why is because the loot is merely the bait. It's the reward. It's the reason why you go there. It's the director. So basically, by placing loot there, CCP is saying, or a game company, by putting rewards in place, a game company is saying, hey, this is what we think that you should be doing, right? And it's a way of kind of communicating with the player and offering player guidance as to where to go by rewarding the behavior that the game masters want the player to be doing. That's the whole nature of psychological, you know, reward, all that stuff. Anyway, so the loot itself is not fun, but the loot should bring people to things that are fun. If that makes sense.
Well, I'm sure it brings people like Finn in for fun when he finds people running them, right?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, we've had some decent fights coming from those things, but it's just a catalyst for a fight. It's not necessarily the fun. It's just the catalyst for the fun.
Yeah, so there's actually a very interesting thing about EVE Online when it comes to its reward system, because what I just described is kind of a normal gaming reward system where there are fun things, and then if you go do those fun things, you get cool stuff, which is a very, you know, theme parky kind of way of doing things. You know, EVE is a sandbox, as it said, and so therefore it doesn't quite make the same amount of sense. So what EVE ends up doing is, because there has to be prey for EVE to work, there has to be predators, Finteru, and prey, my ass ratting in an Abaddon. No, I'm riding in an Abaddon. I'm prey. I have decided to take on the role of prey. And this is the whole Isk versus Isk per hour debate in a nutshell, basically. I have made the agreement that if I am prey in Nullsec, I will earn about 15 million Isk an hour because I do it in an Abaddon, whatever. Because I don't feel like risking too much, so I don't use a Tech 2 ship or whatever. But I agree that if I put my Abaddon out there as prey for an hour, I will earn 4 wallet drops of 15 million ISK. So therefore, I have agreed to be content to somebody who is patrolling. Now, I can, of course, as any good prey, put out lookouts, run, you know, do whatever I need to do. But, you know, they reward me for being prey. And if you notice throughout EVE Online, that kind of is that's another way of looking at that risk versus reward theory, right? If I agree to be prey, I will earn ISK. If I am being a predator, I am risking ISK in the form of my weapon that I'm using to hunt for prey.
That's an interesting philosophy to look at it. I guess I've never really kind of taken that thought before. I think at this point, now would be a good time to take a little break. I know my bourbon glass is empty.
Yeah, that's a really good time for a break.
Yeah, you got a handful there, bud. I think now would be a good time to top off our glasses, take a bio, and when we come back, we'll do some more discussion. We're going to talk a little bit about 3 years of the High Drag podcast, and the fact that we are just a couple of days away from Christmas 2015, and, you know, just a little more friendly discussion, barroom style. So we'll take a few, and we'll be right back.
This is Zendane from the EVE Reader, and you're listening to the High Drag podcast. ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on. Ground control to Major Tom.
8, 7, 6.
Commencing countdown, engines on.
3, 2.
Check ignition 1. And may God's love be with you. This is ground control to Major Tom. You've really made the grade, and the papers want to know whose shirts you wear. Now it's time to leave the capsule if you dare.
All right, welcome back to segment 2 of the High Drag Podcast, early 2015 Christmas, third year anniversary episode. We've been doing a lot of rambling, just kind of floating through subjects off the top of our head. And one thing I did want to say is that we apologize profusely for being very slow on getting some episodes out. I know that at this time of year, with the holidays, scheduling for the three of us has been kind of crazy. So we are recording on an off night. We're actually recording on the 21st, which is a Monday instead of our typical Thursday night. So we just wanted to let you know that... don't worry about us. We're doing okay. And we will be, should be back on a regular schedule probably after the beginning of the year, because I know for me personally, the holidays can get kind of crazy. So that about cover for you guys as well?
Yep. And I got to do you one better by saying that I got to leave in about 5 minutes.
Okay, then. Well, do you want to throw out some shout outs now?
Yeah, just once again, Aideron Robotics is recruiting. Once again, we're doing cool stuff. We're actually in the South fighting brave newbies right now. So they've joined Kaldari, and we're still holding Fleet, which has been our home for, I think, 2 years now. So if you're interested in coming and joining Faction Warfare and learning stuff, come check us out. Also, shout out, we did a lore panel last weekend, I want to say. That was really fantastic. Elizabeth showed up, and she just knows everything that there is to know about the MR. So she told us everything about the different heirs for the current championship that's going on, and who's going to die and who's going to live, or you know, who might become the new emperor, which was really cool. And I think that about does it for me. Just shout out to both of those, all of the people that make both of those different things work.
Well, let me ask you real quick before you split then, how has the fight been for Galmil? I mean, with brave newbies joining the Kaldari side, have you been getting some decent fights out of it?
The Warzone has been, like, one of the reasons why I left Nullsec and came back to Faction Warfare is because, of course, as soon as I leave Losec suddenly becomes, like, the place to be. With the Imperium invading and Brave there and just all this nonsense going on. So, yeah, no, between the groups that I just mentioned and Snuff and just all the different groups running around right now, it's been a lot of fun. A lot of really good fights in the last few days. So I'm happy to be back in the area.
Cool, cool. All right, well, we're going to continue rolling on with our second segment, and I'm going to take a few minutes to talk a little bit about what I talked about on Podside. Now, I stopped in on Podside's recording Saturday night and was talking a little bit about the High Drag podcast and kind of some of the aspirations that we have been talking about behind the scenes, and one of them is including swag. We went out to Vegas. Well, Ash and I went out to Vegas. And we saw, you know, a lot of the podcasts or a lot of the Eve meta show type things had their swag on. And so I've been talking with the guys behind the scenes, and we're thinking about doing some high drag swag as well. And we want to kind of reach out to the listeners and get some ideas, get some, you know, do you support the idea? Do you not? Do you care? But we were thinking that at the very minimum for our third anniversary to try to start gathering up some donations maybe on our website. We have a donate button at highdrag@wordpress.com. And for people who are interested in donating, any of the proceeds that we get through the donations are going to go towards getting some swag. For people who want to wear the High Drag logos proudly, one of the other things that I was thinking about getting was shot glasses. And I always kind of thought that that would be a lot of fun. So if you are interested or if you have any questions, you can contact us at highdragpodcast@gmail.com. Ask questions, give suggestions. And so the hopes are that probably after the new year, once Christmas and New Year's is taken care of, we definitely want to start looking at ordering up some swag and getting people t-shirts and shot glasses and such. So let us know what you think. All right. Now that we got the big commercial out of the way, Finn, do you want to lead us into a yin segment, or do you have anything to talk about?
Yeah, we can totally do that. All right. So I was talking earlier saying that out of the Navy frigates, I'm really enjoying the Navy Griffin. So Laztel is one of the main FCs for Goon Swarm and the Imperium or whatever. And he streams sometimes on the Mitani's channel, Twitch channel. Well, he's been enjoying the fuck out of this, and he's been flying it with a fit that I kind of like took a bit of an idea from. And as Random was saying earlier, I don't care for ECM. And so this is what I came up with. It actually is a Griffin that doesn't have any ECM.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it has no ECM. So I'm going to explain this. And this thing is fun as hell. But the fit can be varied to have ECM. So the way I have been flying it doesn't have any jam modules on it. But it can be fit to have jam modules on it and still be extremely good. So here's what I've been doing. Two light neutron blasts, rocket launcher, AB, scram, double web, medium ancillary shield booster, and then your low slots have got damage control and a magnetic field stabilizer for blaster damage because the ship's bonus for hybrid damage. And then for the rigs, three hull tank rigs. I've been doing tech twos. They're cheap, and yeah, I had a decent amount of extra hull hit points. So the thing has about 4.5k EHP. Then you have a medium ancillary shield booster on top of that. But here's the scary part. It does 260 DPS.
260 DPS.
From a Griffin.
Out of a Griffin.
All right, so if you like ECM, if you don't want to be that kind of honorable person, but you want to be dishonorable and be that asshole, well, here's where
okay,
you can switch it up.
Okay, that would be me.
So here's what you can do. Laztel has been flying a variation of this. That runs AB, scram, web, and then double multi-spectral frequency jams, which are the multi, like, they hit everybody jams. And so you've got two of them. You still do, like, 260 DPS. He still flies it with the hull tank rigs and the damage control, the magnetic field stabilizer. But you've got two jams. Now, here's the problem with that. Because of the way they did these new E-War frigates, the range on the E-War is super short. So your optimal range with those jams is about 3 kilometers, and your fall-off goes out to about 7.5 kilometers. So these things can be easily scram kite by like a rail comet or a fire tail, for example. And they can, you know, you're not going to jam them once you pass your fall off. So that's part of the issue. So here's kind of a mix between the two. that I was suggesting, because part of your tank for these griffins is your ECM, if you want to do it that way. So what you could do on my variation, you could ditch the medium ancillary shield booster and go with a single multi-spectrum, which will help amplify your tanking ability. You're still going to have really good DPS, but the big thing about this, and the reason why I say the ASB instead of the web, the second web, is because these things are slow with an afterburner, so you're going to have better range control with a dual web, which means that you can keep them in your optimal, so your jams are going to hit better. And with one jam, you could just about perma jam, or at least have a 50%, like you've got like a 50 to 60% jam rate depending on your skills for these things. Even on a single multi-spectrum, you're still going to have a really high chance to jam. So it's going to be a decent chance to add onto your tank, and you're going to last more than 20 seconds, so you'll at least get a couple chances to try and jam them, because it is a pretty long cycle time on it. So there's your jam version. I would go with the double webs and the single multi-spectrum, or you could go Laz's version and go with the double multi-spectrum, but it means that you can be more easily kited out of your jam range, and then you're really going to be in trouble. Or you could go crazy with the extra tank and DPS version like mine, which runs no jam.
So basically, when you say that you really like the Navy Griffin, you just like the non-ECM part of the Navy Griffin.
Basically, yes. But no lie, I have been extremely tempted to fly the jam version of it, but I always remember the frustrations that I have whenever I'm jammed, and I don't want to do that to other people. Nice guy, Finn.
Wow. What a Girl Scout you are. That would be like flying a mollusk without a damp. Why would you fly a griffin without a jam?
Well, yeah, no, if you're flying the Navy mollusk without a damp, that's perfectly fine because they're not bonus points, but I guess that doesn't really count since you're flying a ship without them. But here's the thing. I mean, first of all, you're doing something nobody really expects. And from what I have seen, a lot of people are pretty willing to engage these things, and even at the risk of being jammed. And so now you're flying a fairly high tank version of it that does almost Comet level DPS. So a lot of people are not going to be expecting that. And it's pretty cool what you can do with it.
Cool, cool. Since we're on the topic of jams, this was something I was going to mention earlier when we were discussing the command desis. Have you run into or heard anybody talking about the... oh my gosh, what is it? The burst ECM module. Have you heard or heard anybody talk about that?
Oh no, I haven't, but I think I know where you're going, and that's that would be very entertaining to say the word.
See now, and I will say that I was listening to another one of the podcasts today, and today was my podcast day. I was just kind of cranking on them today, and there was a discussion about a group that was using, or they were still working on a fit that incorporated an ECM burst module. And to me, the idea of using that Bifrost, that, you know, the one that you were talking about earlier in the show with the mid-grade snakes that hits 5K. Can you imagine just barreling into a pack of something with a burst ECM and then hitting that micro jump generator?
Say that again. Sorry.
No,
with that ECM burst. Would be incredibly entertaining.
So I really and seriously have to start playing around with these things, and I really and seriously want to start bringing ECM burst modules back, just because I think it would be hilarious to run it about 4 or 5K into somebody and ECM burst them. So I think at this time, we've had some Finn. We're getting ready for the holidays. We're going to be enjoying our third anniversary as a podcast. Why don't we start leading into some shout-outs? We'll wrap this one up a skitch early and enjoy an eggnog with a lot of bourbon in it. Or maybe I should say a bourbon with a little bit of eggnog in it, and call it a night. Why don't you lead us off, Finn?
All right, well, I'm going to give another shout-out to... Well, this is going to be kind of weird to all. Lots is going to be, like, one group thing to lots of people. But Eve Bet and then I Want Isk and EOC. What is it? I forget that one. EOC,
the
whatever.
Rumble?
The, yeah, Yeah, they. I want to give a big shout out to all of those gambling websites because, and here's why, because they do a lot to support some of the content makers out there, like some of the video makers and streamers and stuff, like sponsoring them so they don't have to spend lots of time doing PvE for their videos and the stream and stuff. I can't say a big enough thanks to that. Like, I'm a big supporter of streamers and. A big supporter of streamers and video makers and stuff like that. Like, especially with Rifter Links, we've kind of built it almost as like a media Moogle media empire. And so for all of those websites that have helped send ISK to those of us that are doing this kind of stuff, a big thank you. I really, really appreciate that. Like, you know, I went ISK and Iron Bank. They send me ISK basically like kind of like a year at a time. And it's just a huge help. It makes it so I can keep doing things and having fun with it and not having to stop to make money.
Cool. That makes one of us.
Stream's still going, but some people have been having problems.
Yeah, it's kind of stopped and crashed a couple of times tonight, but it fires back up. All right. Anything else? Any last for your any other shout out?
No, that's
okay. For my shout-outs tonight, I'm going to start off by saying I want to shout-out to the rest of the crew of the High Drag Podcast. We've been doing this now for 3 years. Sometimes it's pretty tough to get the motivation to do it. Sometimes we got a lot of motivation to do it. Sometimes it's just tough to make the time. But the crew, Ashtarothy and you, Finn, it's a pleasure working with you. So I just want to give you guys a shout out and say how much I really appreciate it. And the same thing goes out to the listeners. For those of you who are listening to the podcast, you listen, you support us, you say howdy in local or say howdy on Twitch or Twitter. We appreciate it. We really, really do. And we're going to probably take a couple weeks off for the holidays. We'll be returning back in January. Some of the shout outs to my LAGL friends, Rowanen, who was in the chat stream, Gray, who was in the chat stream, Fotis, who was in the chat stream. You guys make my work days during the day a lot nicer to deal with. Just so you know, we're going to keep rolling with the podcast. We're not going to shut it down, not anytime soon. Support us. Let us know what kind of swag you want, and I think happy holidays to everybody. Whatever particular holiday you celebrate at this time of the year, happy holidays to you. So on behalf of Ashtarothy, who had to cut out a little bit early, Finturu, who looks like he is just having a blast of a time, I am Randa McNally, and we'll see you guys in space. Thanks for listening to the High Drag Podcast. You can reach this group of misfits on Twitter at Keep It Like It Was for Kyle, at Ashtarothy, at Finturu, and at Randa McNally 1. Send your emails to highdragpodcast@gmail.com or join us in game at High Drag Chat.
Ziggy played guitar, jamming good with Webb and Gilly and the spiders from Mars. They played it left hand, but made it too far. Became the special man, then we were Ziggy's band. Ziggy really sang screwed up eyes and screwed down hairdo, like some cat from Japan. He could lick 'em by smiling, he could leave 'em to hang. Became on so loaded, man, well hung in snow white tan. Time.
jiving us that we were voodoo. The kids were just crass. He was the Naz with God-given ass. He took it all too far, but boy, could he play guitar. Ziggy played guitar.